American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, February 18th, 2008. And you are listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing within the cyberpunk environment in which we live. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And you can follow along with all of these news stories. And you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This can be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and Radio Red Mercury as well. It can be broadcast anywhere that you see fit. If you'd like to broadcast this show, you can too. I only ask that you don't make any money from it and don't run it on stations that run ads, and I think there's some other stuff we got to get going on, but that's not my job. My job is to make the show. It's Sumerian's job to make sure that the show doesn't get ripped off and exploited for evil purposes and therefore used to enslave the population of the planet Earth, which nobody really wants, which is why we make the show, so we can stop enslavement from planet Earth from actually occurring. Don't get a lot of feedback, but what I do have is a sort yourself out. Sort yourself out, of course, is, feedback is where everybody sends in letters and I, you know, say yay or nay or talk about what they're talking about or whatever. So feedback is always good. If you got some feedback on the show, it's always welcome. Anything you got's good to go. If I don't like your feedback, I won't read it. There's no guarantee I will or will not like your feedback because, as you probably figured out by now, I'm insane. So let's get into the Sort Yourself Out section. And Sort Yourself Out is the advice portion of the show, just in case it's the first one you've never listened to. Dear Sean and Sam, if he happens to be there if/when you read this. Well, he's not, but he's kind of here now. He's got that temporal shifting thing where he's kind of here, but he's not, but that's okay. Anyway, well, this probably isn't a Sort Yourself Out issue. I'll tell you what's a Sort Yourself Out issue, mister. I'm looking for a little bit of advice. Well, then that's a sort. I'm 19 years old. Oh, all right, good. Time frame. Have a decent paying job. What's decent? Okay, I do tech support at IBM. I've been out of high school for just under a year. I guess you graduate when you're 18 in the States. Yeah, I graduated when I was 17, but I'm born late in the year, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm looking to move out of my parents' basement. Always a good call! Although this is not a terribly pressing issue, as there's nothing wrong with my home life, family unit is still intact here, and I'm still young. Judging by how much I make and going rates for things like an apartment, utilities, and other things, it looks like I can afford to live on my own with some money left over. I do not have immediate plans for post-secondary. I'm still kind of sick of school, but I'm going to the local technical institute is definitely a possibility in the future. I'm kind of sick of school, but going to the local technical institute is a definite possibility in the future. So, if you stay at home, you have the option of going to school, is what I'm getting from there. And you don't want to go to school, but, you know, if you stay at home and go to school, this would be, you know, something that you can do. What I'm wondering is, based on your life experience, what would be a good idea for someone my age? Would it be a good idea for someone my age to take off on my own, basically at the first opportunity? Or would it be better to stay at home and build up as big of a savings account as I can before making the plunge? I have an urge raring right now to get out and carve my path in the world. But I want to stalk and take in an objective view about this. I'm going to stop now because, like many others out there, I could easily write a 10-page wall of text email about this. I look forward to your response, and this is from Ryan. All right, well, Ryan, it's like this. See, the thing is you already know what the right answer is here. But you don't like the right answer, and that's why you're coming to me with it, you know. As a WOG, you know, you generally proceed through life very tactically. Yes, there is the drive. You're out of school, you're 19 years old, your hormones are taking over your brain, you'd really like to get laid, it's pretty hard to get laid in your parents' basement, unless you're willing to pay for it, or unless you keep her down there permanently with wires stuck in her head. But we won't talk about that right now. The truth is, that the smart move here, it sucks. It sucks, but I'm going to give you the smart move here. And this is the smart move. This is the right move. Now, if you leave the parents' basement, here's what's going to happen, all right? If you leave the parents' basement, which is kind of funny that we're talking about this as the parents' basement, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. If you leave the parents' basement, you don't really have a clear advantage. You don't know what you're getting into, and you don't know what the future may hold. So your likelihood of failure is fairly high. It's much higher than if you were to go into something a little bit more tactically aware. If you stay in your parents' basement and play World of Warcraft, this is also not good. You just paused. Okay, you're not going anywhere. So your next order of business, the very next thing you should do after listening to the show, if you believe me at all, okay, if you believe me at all, the very next thing you should do is get your ass down to that technical institute and enroll there. This is important for a couple of reasons. Number one, the IT industry is always in need of people. Russia's exploding. India's exploding. My God, the place where I work is exploding. Anybody in Vancouver want a job? I'm here to tell you. There's so many people looking for IT people right now. It's out of control. I'm not even kidding. If you're looking for a job, email me. And you're in Vancouver, and you're not a psycho, and I won't have to kill you. But anyway, but seriously, it's nuts how many people are looking for work within the IT world. There's not a lot of people doing it because everyone used to think that, oh, IT's easy. You just show up, you know, you take a few courses, and then bang, you're there. You got to think computers are pretty cool. It's not like you can just show up and be an IT guy because you're sick of being an interior decorator, okay? It's pretty difficult stuff. So I would say that the correct move to be would be to go down to the Tech Institute and enroll in a course right away. The reason why you do this is for your own self-image and self-respect. See, if you're living in your parents' basement, that has a tendency to kind of mess with your brain a little bit. Gets inside your head. Fucks with you. So what you want to do is you want to go down there so people go, oh, are you living at home? Or when you look at yourself and go, look at me, I'm living at home. Yes, but I'm going to school. And this is a method of me to save money. Now, you want to take in as much schooling as possible. As if you can afford to go get yourself like a doctorate, go get one. Okay, go get one. It can't hurt you. It can only help you. All right, it gives you a little bit more time. You're 19 years old. You're not even a teenager anymore. Okay, you could basically fuck up for the next like 6 years, and no one would judge you poorly for it. But that's where everyone makes the critical flaw. They go, oh, well, I'm just going to be a bum. I'm going to wander around the planet with my backpack on. The planet will still be here, hopefully, in 6 years. Okay, it'll still be here. So here's what you do. You go down, you enroll. Today, Monday, it's Monday, you're listening to the show. It's 9 o'clock in the morning if you're listening live. Go down there, enroll. Get involved in the enrollment process. And then email me back and let me know where you're at with that. This is very, very important. Because as you go through the motions, if you stop and you think and you sit and you wonder about it, wonder whatever, those upon the edges of victory sit down and resting, and therefore resting died. You must press on to your objective so that once you get that, you can move up, you can move out of IBM. You've already got work experience as tech support of IBM. You go get yourself another piece of paper, maybe transfer over to university. You got work experience there. You're on a good pathway here. It sucks, and it's hard, and it's raining, and it's dark, and you're cold, and you don't like your current environment because you'd like to think, damn it, you know, all I got to do is quit. All I got to do is quit, and all this pain and suffering goes away, and therefore will the payoff. You cannot take a step back from this. You know what you want to do. You know what you should do. You should go to the local tech institute and get a possibility going of a course. Yeah, you're sick of school. Well, button up, buttercup. Go have a look at what's going on with the child soldiers in Africa. There's all kinds of people who would kill for an opportunity like the one you have in front of you. Don't do it because of what you want. Do it for what all the thousands of people in the world want and don't have the opportunity to have. So in my experience, all bullshit aside, not trying to sound like, you know, some G.I. Joe public service announcement, but dude, go to school. Okay, seriously, stay at home, decorate up the basement. You'd be surprised what you can do with mirrors and lighting. No, really. I mean, it looks nice, you know, and you can even keep it as the, you know, tell people you live in your parents' basement, trick it all out, have a wine cellar down there, make it quite the little pad. Tuck in there for as long as you can. Save your money, okay? Save as much cash as you possibly can. Get as much schooling as you can, because let me tell you, life is a bigger war than you can ever possibly imagine, so you should be overprepared as much as possible. Cash is a parachute. Pack a big one, okay? Because you got to be able to float. If you don't have enough money in the bank to live, you have the opportunity to bank this much. If you don't have money in the bank enough to live, okay, without a job, for a year, okay, then I wouldn't move out. Seriously, proceed through life tactically. If you have the kind of opportunity where you can, you know, make a plan, execute a plan without emotion, without all the stickiness, without your hormones getting in the way saying, I want to get laid or whatever. Hey, there's lots of people that make it out in cards, okay? I hate to tell you this, but your life is more important than just hedonistic experience. You've got to make a right plan. You got a good call here. And I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, well, he's going to tell him to join the Army. No, this guy's got a lot of stuff going on for him right now. And I don't think that would be the best career path for him. I mean, if you wanted to go and do that, I know the Air Force is looking to recruit a bunch of guys for this cyber squadron thing they got going on where they hunt down hackers and stuff. But I digress. I would honestly say, dude, yeah, you know what you got to do here. You're looking for me to bounce back the same opinion. Dude, I'm here to tell you. Stay in school. Stay in the parents' basement if you are staying in school. If you do not go back to school, then... stay in the basement until you figure out you should go back to school, and then go back to school. Peace. Okay. News. Into the news. In robot takeover news. You see, this is why we need more people in the IT industry. In robot takeover news, a seagoing glider that harvests heat energy from the ocean to propel itself is being used to explore the undersea environment off Puerto Rico, says U.S. research. This is like an underwater UAV. So it's a UWAV. A UAV. A UAV. Hey, underwater... UAV, so it's an underwater autonomous aerial vehicle. Yeah, unmanned. Yeah, UAV. Something like that. They said the glider has crisscrossed the 4,000 meter deep of the Virgin Islands basin between St. Thomas Island and St. Croix Islands, the east of Puerto Rico, more than 20 times since it was launched in December 2007. See, and there's a video there you can download too. And it could keep going on its own for another 6 months. A team at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute and the Webb Research Companion in Massachusetts, United States, predicts. So what we got here is we got an underwater, unmanned, flying underwater vehicle, UWV, OOV. You've got the OOV here, and the OOV is basically something you could make turn into a mine pretty easy. It looks like something you could have flying around in the ocean, and a ship shows up, and it just flies up and attacks it. So... very interesting. They're making robots that can run off of the planet. Isn't that a really good idea? I don't know if it is, but, you know. And that story was sent... did anybody send me that? No, I found that one there. But this next story was sent in by the Hatter of Madness. And shut up and shop! Now, this is something that was in Terminal City Ricochet. If you haven't seen Terminal City Ricochet, it's a terminally shitty. It's not the best movie in the world, but it's a punk movie. It's kind of a cult classic, okay? It was banned and illegal for a long time because Joey Shithead and a bunch of the band and all these guys didn't want to, like, there was rights about the movie. But now you can get it on BitTorrent, and Terminal City Ricochet is out there, so you can download and check it out. And in the movie, there's a news report where a guy says, don't worry about all these things. Go out and go shopping. It does, elevate the spirits, you know. Now, this is something that is being rehashed again and again and again. Down in the mouth? Why not pick something up nice for yourself? It's a practice so common that has come to be called, are you ready for this one, retail therapy. In a recent study, researchers uncovered evidence of what some of what shopaholics have known for years, that people may be willing to spend more on themselves when they're feeling sad. That people may be willing to spend more on themselves when they're feeling sad. Study of 33 volunteers, huge data sample, to be published in the June 2008 edition of Psychological Science, doing research on shopping trends based on your emotional state, found that the feeling sad lends to self-centered thinking. And this, in turn, can be led to greater likelihood of dropping extra cash on something that just makes you feel better. Well, that's great! Makes a lot more sense when they're running, like, psychotically depressing stories on the news. To reach their conclusions, a team of researchers from Carnegie Mellon, Harvard, Stanford, and the University of Pittsburgh showed volunteers the video clip that showed a grief following a tragic death, or a neutral clip from a nature show. Wow, these are based upon television. Afterwards, participants had a chance to purchase an ordinary item, a sporty water bottle. They found that people who watched the sad video clip offered an average of 300% more money for that item than those who had viewed the neutral clip. Okay, we need to stop participating in these studies. The key contribution to our paper adds to the literature that a high degree of self-focus can carry over to spending, said another study author, Cynthia Kreider, a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon University. Other psychological experts not directly involved with the research agree that the findings are interesting. Wow, that's great that they all agreed that the findings were interesting. Well, what do you suppose all this means? advertisers pushing the old concept of if it bleeds, it leads to create a shell-shock spending nation. That's what that means. I mean, is it any wonder that you turn on the news and all you get is like the world's most psychotically depressing stories with It Bleeds, It Leads, followed by car commercials to pander to the male ego and drug commercials where you could ask your doctor if shooting yourself is okay for you to escape the agony of your life. Like, holy crap, dude! Holy crap! How could you possibly, like, you know, I thought psychology was supposed to be about medicine. I thought psychology was supposed to be about, you know, understanding how to get people to be in a healthy state. Not trying to sit there and brain fuck people so that they can misspend more money. Is that, like, that? Talk about Sith science, man. Talk about the dark side. You know, as, and this is, and unfortunately, I would long for the days when it was just psychiatrists sitting there, you know, trying to figure out a way to get people to spend more money. I would long for those days compared to these psychos who are using electroencephalographs, strapping it on those wiry things on people's heads, you know, and then they do brain readings and then they show you commercials and you watch the brain readings and you're like, holy crap! I like the color red. Did you know that if you put these geometric shapes subtly in the back, it will imprint more firmly into the subconscious mind, and therefore, they will buy the frou-frou juice? I'm sorry. I think that's kind of like, kind of a misuse of science there. I'm not really too sure we should be spending a lot of research dollars in figuring out ways to subtly con people using the box of light. I mean, that's just me. Am I the only one who has a moral problem with this? Apparently. And it's a pretty sad state of affairs when Sean Kennedy, TFM, happens to be the voice of reason in our society, don't you think? I mean, just a standard sort of, you know, question. I remember when I used to be considered extreme, and now I'm going, whoa, dude, you guys need to slow down. I mean, I'm all for wet wiring and everything else. Don't get me wrong. I think I understand the technology's got to, you know, march on. We need to understand this. But, you know, there is limits. There are limits. And, you know, maybe it's difficult, you know, because when you say that, then you say, well, the next step is, of course, where are the limits, Sean? Where are they, bud? You know, you're going to all be talking about limits and what's good and what's bad and what's not good. What's you know, I mean, where's the line? Where's the line, dude? What are you going to say is good? What are you going to say is not good? You have to come up with some sort of a story about it. You know, you have to, do you have like some, like what they do in Saudi Arabia where they got these crazy ass religious, you know, police wandering around telling people what they can and cannot think? No, that's not going to work. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's education. Seems like that's really the big thing. But then who's infiltrating education? I mean, you go to the education system now and you've got corporations, you know, McDonald's is putting their logos on report cards. You got schools taking money from Coca-Cola, say they walk around with Coke badges on with RFID tags in them, and Pepsi products can't be sold in the store. And most people are upset because Pepsi is funding the ad campaign saying, this is unfair, you should have a choice between Coke and Pepsi. No! You shouldn't have a choice between Coke and Pepsi, dude. You should have, like, education in your schools, maybe some healthy food, and not, you know, asphalt byproducts showed up, served up inside of aluminum glasses inside with, you know, 7 tablespoons of sugar in there. Just a thought, you know? Makes me a little crazy sometimes. In border war news. Now, here's a good one. Now, everyone knows that god-awful show with that 80s-looking rocker dog, the bounty on it, right? He went down to the States. Grabbed some dude who was a rapist, apparently, allegedly. Well, I mean, it looks pretty damning according to Fox, but, you know, I mean, how much can you really bank on that? But anyway, for those of you who are mercilessly spared from the experience, there is a show on television called Dog the Bounty Hunter. And in the show, this dude who looks like the lead singer from Poison, you know, goes with his weird family, and he goes around macing people who, you know, didn't pay parking tickets and stuff like that, and, you know, arrest them. And then while he arrests them, the worst part is, never mind the fact that this dude who's, you know, private with his, you know, his Padawan, you know, feathered hair thing going on there. Never mind that. The thing that gets me is, I don't mind getting pulled off my property by some dude who's not even a government employee, okay? I don't mind that. I don't even mind you macing me and handcuffing me and throwing me in the back of your Escalade with your fat wife. That's okay, too. The real bitch is when you sit in the front seat and then you start preaching to me about how my life is so bad. I mean, that just, oh, God, you know, it's painful to watch. But anyway, this guy, who I don't mind, by the way, who I don't mind. I think the dude's all right. You know, whatever. But he goes to Mexico and hunts down this rapist, right? Grabs him, snags him in Mexico, drags him back to the United States. Well, this is illegal, right? You can't do that. So when you wind up having this little red line drawn in the ground, you wind up with a whole bunch of problems. And the border war along the United States is very, very real. There is a border war occurring along the United States border right now between U.S. and Mexico. And there's ranch hands down there who are losing their farms because, you know, they don't want these people, like, invading their property. And I can kind of understand it. I can kind of understand that. You know, there's been other cultures who haven't tried to, you know, control immigration. That has not been very well, you know, it didn't work out well for the Indians. You know, they didn't seem to control the immigration. And, they kind of lost the whole game there. Didn't really work out well for them. I mean, I think the genocide of the Native American people is one of the greatest travesties that's underreported in the world. I mean, the Americans killed more Indians than the Nazis ever killed Jews. Okay, like, you got to remember that. So, you know, we might want to consider what we're doing here in the southern United States, because they're using the Mexicans as slaves, essentially. I mean, if you go down to the southern United States, for those of you who have been to the United States, if you go to the southern United States, every single Joe job, menial job known to man is done by a Mexican. And they got their little pecking order and hierarchy down there, too. It's like, you know, you got the dudes who are, like, you know, in charge of other Mexicans, and they're, like, absolutely vicious. The way these people treat their own people is unreal, but I guess that's the rules of the game, right? That's how it's played. You know, if I was, I come from a very privileged country. So you got to understand that that is how the very base human nature of people are. They will, you know, it's a beggar on horseback. And once you get a little bit of power, they'll start whipping the other beggars as hard as they can. And maybe they should. I'm not judging it. I'm just giving a description of what's going on here. But I would think that it'd be a better idea to, you know, not have a country based upon slave labor. You know, I mean, maybe I'm out of control on this one here, Sean. You don't understand the economics. If we didn't have, you know, cheap Mexican labor, then, you know, the whole country would fall apart. And we'd have to, you know, I'd have to pay people a decent wage. And then my business couldn't exist if I had to pay people a decent wage because I couldn't be competitive. Well, if everybody's paying the same wages, then it's going to be competitive. I mean, maybe the whole point's moot. Maybe there's no way to do this so that there is, you know, competitive wages. Maybe the whole idea is just insane. But I don't know. I think that they should probably secure the borders. I really do. It seems like an idea to me. I've always, when in doubt, lock her down. You know, and it seems like right now the United States might be in a little bit of trouble. And when that happens, it's always good to solidify a few things, okay? But anyway, this is what's happening down on the border war news. Police have located a man they believe molested a 5-year-old Indianapolis girl. It could be many months before Jose Ovidio, who's 30, stands before an Indiana judge. According to the probable cause affidavit, the 5-year-old girl was taken to St. Francis Hospital on January 26th with obvious signs of having contracted a sexually transmitted disease. She told police her mother's boyfriend molested her. Police questioned the child's mother, who was unwilling to help the police locate the guy. So the child's mother was, okay, the kid's out of there. Tubby, you just lost your kids. Police then issued a warrant for Oviedo, who is believed to be an illegal immigrant from Mexico. A tip to Crime Stoppers led U.S. Marshals to Little Rock, Arkansas, where they spoke with family members. That's where the marshals learned Oviedo had given them the slip and fled to Mexico. The supervisor department, U.S. Marshal John Beeman, said Ovidio is a Mexican citizen. Authorities will begin extradition procedures in order to get him back to the United States to face charges here. Beeman said it's a long process. First, the Marion County prosecutors will file a lengthy, detailed extradition application. Goes to the U.S. Department of Justice, the U.S. State Department, and the Mexican consulate in Washington, D.C. Beeman said the process could take 6 months before the Mexican officials receive the paperwork. After the application is certified, it's sent to the U.S. Embassy in Mexico. From there, it will be sent to the Mexican Attorney General. Finally, and the judge will issue a warrant for the extradition. Now, this takes 6 months. 6 months. But the Mexican authorities can extradite at their discretion if they choose. But the Mexican authorities can extradite at their discretion. If they choose not to extradite, Beeman said the current treaty requires Mexico to prosecute Ovidio for their crime. In the meantime, it is believed Ovidio remains free in a small Mexican town just 12 miles from the U.S. border. Well, sounds to me like a snatch and grab is in order here. But, you know, you'd have to do it completely off camera. You'd have to send somebody down there to go grab this fucker, bring him back, and then you just make sure the cops are tipped off that this guy's going to be standing on a street corner. He's apprehended on U.S. soil and, you know, so on and so forth. And you'd have to look at this. Now, we know the guy did it. Well, let's just, we don't know that. Yeah, we do. Fuck it. We do know it. We know the guy did this. Little girl knows who touched her, okay? She's got the disease. Buddy's got the disease. Mom will confirm that shit. Mom's also probably got the disease. So, you know, what's the score here? What do you do? How do you handle this? Well, to me, it seems like, you know, it's Black Van ski mask time. It would generally seem to me, just because they're cheaper than Super Bees. But, you know, people are going to be really upset with that. They're like, Sean, that's like secret police. You can't have this sort of a thing going on, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, yes, it's true. The morality of the whole thing may be brought into question. And I'm sure there are those people out there who would say that this is generally sort of a bad idea. But I believe in what George Orwell said, that you know, good people are able to sleep peaceably in their beds at night because there are rough men waiting in the dark to do violence on their behalf. Sometimes it is required. Sometimes it is required that, you know, the bacon's got to get into the store somehow. Yes, it's true. You cannot make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. It's true. I hate it. I'm not happy about it. I'm definitely not happy that this son of a bitch is free. And I'm not even thinking we should go after this guy just because it's a vengeance trip. No. I'm not after this guy because of a vengeance trip. I'm after this guy because he assaulted a 5-year-old girl. That is done. The damage is done. She now has a sexually transmitted disease that she will carry around with her probably for the rest of her life. I don't know what the disease is. Hopefully it's not something she'll carry with her for the rest of her life and have to deal with the psychological trauma of being a 5-year-old rape victim, you know, and all the other damage goes with that. That is horrific enough on its own. But this will not be the last time the guy does it. So it's for the unnamed children who I do not know who, you know, you've got to turn this fucker off. Seriously. I mean, you know, I guess legally you could bring him back here and try to prosecute him, send him to jail, or I could just shoot the fucker. You know, really. You know, 12 miles. It's a bit of a hunting expedition. Go down, find him, turn him off, walk away. You know, that's pretty extreme. Just a thought, you know. What are your thoughts on this? What should we do here? You know, really, what should we do here? Is this an excuse to lock down the borders and claim it as a draconian state? I'd be interested in what you think should be done in this particular circumstance. It's great because, you know, it's got pedophiles involved. And that's always good to stir up the people, right? Maybe this is all just a government story that's planted to try to get people to get used to the idea of, like, a North American police force that has this massive jurisdiction so they could swoop down and stop child predators, as well as anything from people who avoid speeding tickets. You know what I mean? It's a very slippery slope, and it's very manipulative, so we have to be careful. But if you've got any comments on this story, send it to newsreel@ranradio.com. In pharma fascism news. Pharma fascism. You gotta love the pharma fascists. You know, who needs a death camp when you got these guys around? The lives of 22,000 patients. They're not even patients. They're not even people. They're patients. The lives of 22,000 people could have been saved. Could have been saved. Okay, let me put it this way. 22,000 people would not have been killed if U.S. regulators had removed the Bayer AG drug used to stem bleeding during open-heart surgery, according to medical research interviewed by CBS's television 60 Minutes program. The drug is Tracelol. Was withdrawn in November at the request of the FDA after an observational study linked the medicine to kidney failure, requiring dialysis and increased death of those patients. It has been given to as many as a third of all heart bypass patients in the United States at the height of its use over a period of many years, according to the report. Most, they don't give you dates. Dr. Dennis Magnano, the study's researcher, said that during the program, 22,000 lives could have been saved if Tracelol had been taken off the market when they first published this study in January of 2006. So it's just within the last year 22,000 people died, according to a CBS News report on its website ahead of the broadcast slated for next Sunday, which may already have been passed. Chairman of the FDA Advisory Panel, Dr. William Hyatt, told 60 Minutes he would have voted to remove Tracelol from the market had he been informed about Bayer's study, according to the CBS report. Bayer spokeswoman Meredith Fisher said she could not comment about the broadcast until it is aired, including allegations that the drug maker had failed to protect patients. She said Bayer is facing a number of product liability lawsuits filed by patients who had taken the medication or their families, but she said she did not know how many lawsuits were filed. Well, isn't that interesting? Well, I mean, what would Bayer do? You know, why should people be worried about Bayer? Never mind that these are the guys who, pretty much, they did actually make Zyklon B, which is what they fed the Nazis, and the Nazis then fed the Jews, and were gassing people en masse before sticking them in the oven. Crackle, crackle, crackle. Not so good. Not so good. And people wonder why, you see why I've got this huge problem with the whole pharma fascism thing. It's a scam. There are a bunch of drug pushers trying to come up with their own version of meth to get you hooked on so you'll never get off, and then they have you by the balls. By the balls. In Mudhut Fanatic News, speaking of by the balls, dude, if the Mexican story didn't piss you off and get you all mad at me, this one here is going to freak you right out. In Mudhut Fanatic News, you betcha, rioting in Denmark. A fireman tries to put out the Verbo's Elementary School that was set alight by demonstrators at the Valrus north of Copenhagen last February 14th, 2008. 17 youths were arrested after nights of rioting at a number of largely immigrant neighborhoods of Copenhagen, police said. 6 immigrant youths were arrested after the continued rioting in Copenhagen a few nights later. 6 youths, and the AFP report says 6 youths were arrested. Copenhagen were setting cars and dumpsters on fire. You remember before when the French were getting everything thrown on fire? Anyway, they were throwing stones at police. In the 5th night of riots in a predominantly immigrant area of the Danish capital, police said Friday. We've had to arrest 6 so far. They were charged with throwing stones at police and setting fires to cars and waste containers. The chief inspector, Henrik Olsen, of the Copenhagen police told AFP. At least 11 cars were torched in various neighborhoods of Copenhagen, and 10 others in the nearby town of Kokkedal. On Thursday, 17 youths were arrested for rioting the previous night. We don't know why they're rioting. This is what the police chief said. We don't know why they're rioting. I think it's because they're bored. They're bored. Hey, what are you doing tonight, Murray? Not too much, man. Let's riot. All right. No, it's not because they're bored, okay? Some people say, and the cops are really good at dodging this here, some people say it's because of the cartoons, but that's not my opinion. So interesting. Was he referring to the reprinted controversial cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad in the 17 Danish newspapers the previous Wednesday? Well, let's see. What's changed? Install the program. My computer crashes. Uh-huh. What do you suppose that computer, that program might be a thing? You run a cartoon with a picture of the Prophet Muhammad in it. All of a sudden, there's rioting and people are lighting your cars on fire. Now, I understand, and also understand, I've taken a swing at Christianity before, okay? I've taken a swing at Christianity. They were burning my books for a while there. But at some point, you really got to step back and go, listen up. You dudes need to get your shit in order here, okay? I understand you're into following this Mudhut Desert Raider guy as he, cascades across the universe, and you're going to set up this crazy caliphate and have these, religious police and whatever kind of crazy psycho quasi bullshit you're able to sell to people who can't read, but this is not going to wash in the first world. Okay, I hate to tell you this. I mean, Saudi Arabia is Vegas with, Mudhut culture, okay, all kind of combined together. That's why they're trying people for witchcraft and shit. Okay, just because you got money doesn't make you civilized. And to be fair, it's not like Western culture is the most civilized culture on the planet. We got a pretty good space program. We got MIT over here, pretty much responsible for the internet, I would think. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm not just saying Western. Let's look at Europe. Nikola Tesla, a lot of great things. Einstein, everybody comes out of Europe. Britain, Britain has done more for the special forces than any other country in the world. We're having a cultural war here. And it seems to me that the weapon of manipulation which the enemies of civilization seem to be using is religion. Not that there's anything new with that. Not that there's anything new with that. Young men are looking for a reason to stand up and fight for something, and religion steps in and provides that. So when you got all these, imams and whatever the hell they got going on over there, and they're all, telling these kids that, Prophet Muhammad this, Prophet Muhammad this, Prophet Muhammad is dead, dude. Is dead. They're all dead. Put you guys in the sand. Dead. Okay? Gone. All right? Think about this, will ya? Come on.
72 virgins when you die. Are you fucking serious? You know, I mean, Scientology's got a better rap than this Islam thing does. I'm here to tell you. I mean, I hate Scientology with a passion, but at least they're not blowing themselves up. They're just ripping people off hand over fist. You know, and destroying lives in a psychological, permanently crippling way. So it's kind of an argument. Which is better? Should you, which is worse? You know, killing yourself or turning yourself into an infectious meme that, like, pollutes society? You know, I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up there. But the point is, come on! Now, there's a few people who are bringing up an interesting point. They're like, Sean, it's not all Muslims are like that. Okay, fair ball. Fair ball. There's a number that, like, what was it? Like, even if 10% of Muslims are extremists, that's still like 200 million people. And these are dudes willing to kill themselves to blow up your kids. If those numbers are correct, which, I mean, come on, man. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Are we going to educate these people? Is that the only way we're going to be able to get through? I hope so. If you got any suggestions, let me know. And don't hand me some shit like nuking them into glass. That sounds funny, you know, but in reality, I don't want to kill millions of people. That's not cool. There's nothing cool about that. So we need to come up with a different way of solving these problems. All right? And the big problems are right now is education, and we got to get, you know, the method of manipulation that these meatheads are using to get kids to blow themselves and other people and restaurants up. We got to stop this. There's something wrong here. Now, in less lethal news, and this is the other one. This is the big push we're going to see in our society now, right? It's less lethal everything. There is Inferno is called a sonic barrier, a long metallic speaker bar that generates a sound made of four frequencies between 2 and 5 kilohertz. The sound itself is 125 decibels, which is a typical sound made by alarm. But according to the Danger Room's Sharon Weber, it's the most unbearable, gut-wrenching noise I've ever heard in my life. It was very quick exposure, but Sharon said that it was a lot worse than the Pentagon pain ray. We talked with Dr. Maurice Goldman, managing director of the company in the U.S., about uses and the cost of the devices. Being a guinea pig for a sonic ray was truly a whole lot worse than being a guinea pig for the pain ray. I would have happily volunteered to be hit with the Pentagon's pain ray. It was fun, like being Bugs Bunny dancing around when Elmer Fudd tries to shoot him. Never ever again would I want to get hit by the Inferno, says Sharon. But while the sensation was unbearable, she actually didn't experiment the extreme reactions that the sound will cause. Experience. Wow, spelling error in a news story. Who knows? Well, she didn't actually experience the extreme reactions the sound will cause if you're exposed for a longer time. Vertigo, nausea, and pain in the chest. The device is designed to work with security systems and make people leave protected area immediately. Making people leave at a protected area immediately. This is what you're going to see rolled out on riders. These are the less lethal sound sonic barriers, taser claymores, shotgun tasers now. Taser just came out with a completely deployable shotgun, only fires stun rounds. This is going to be the new solution. And the cops will be absolved from any wrongdoing because, hey, we didn't kill ya! We didn't kill ya! We just tasered the shit out of you until you, like, wet yourself. And, you know, we could have shot you. We could have opened up with, like, machine guns and stuff, but we didn't. We didn't do that. Instead, we hit you with the tasers. And, you know, there was 25,000 riders. We killed 6 people. Hey, it's a good day. It's a good day. Now, you know, is the future coming whether we want it or not? You know, is the only solution going to be 1776? Is it going to require people to all band together, rise up, and start killing people? Because I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Nobody wants that to happen. Especially not the powers that be. They don't want that to happen either. But I'm just here to tell you. You wonder about that. You look at that and you go, wow, that's pretty crazy. You know, I hope that there's a method to get positive change. I hope there's a way that we can begin to get somebody on top, somebody with some power, who can come up with a peaceful solution for this. Because, well, I mean, it's only going to be a matter of time, I think, before young people start getting really, really angry. And I don't mean angry in like a I'm going to make a news radio show kind of way. I mean me making angry in a pick up a gun kind of way. And once they realize they shouldn't be shooting other kids at school, and they start thinking a little bit more and doing a little bit more research, there's going to be some problems. I haven't even discussed the problems that's starting to emerge from all these returning war vets. Dude, there's some serious issues going on here. Now, I'm going with the less lethal news. Who do you suppose is going to be the first guys who are going to be jumping all over this? Law enforcement? No. It'd be a good suggestion, but it's not law enforcement. No, it's going to be private security companies. because they're not guns, right? So since they're not guns, they're going to want to, you know, arm their people with something. Well, in corporate cop news, a strange thing happened during a protest last year in opposition to a visit by Mexico's Vincent Fox at Linwood, California. Mingled with the normal municipal cops sent to force the protesters to stand down, i.e. abandon their First Amendment rights, to oppose Fox and creeping globalism, were a few mysterious guys in green military-like uniforms with command center emblazoned on them along with private security. A private security firm brought in to handle what the local cops should, or rather should not handle. But that wasn't the half of it. According to the people who produced the video that's on the website that the story links to, the guys in green were working for the North American Union. How do they reach this conclusion? The logo on their arm patches, it displays the globe. As WorldNet Daily researcher and writer Jeremy Cameron revealed last September, a similar globe appears on the reverse of North Carolina's driver's license. William Green, president of American Legal Immigration, provided CoreSite WND with a photo of the hologram logo. The hologram looks exactly like the map of North America is used on the background of the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North American logo on the SPP website. I think that's probably a bit of a stretch, that they're saying that invariably if these private security guys are hired up, they are going to be working for the North American Union. But if the North American Union is going to hire a private security force, they're not going to be hiring like local Joe Schmucker. They're going to be hiring like the, you know, the Blackwaters of the world. Those are the people you've got to watch out for. You know, I mean, maybe there's a method to get around this. Maybe this is the flavor of the new world. You know, maybe we should look at ways that we could kind of coexist with this. Fight it, of course, with resistance. But, I mean, you're not going to do anybody any good from a jail cell. You got to be smart about this. You have to be subtle. You have to use subtlety and manipulation in order for change. Direct offensive action is going to be met by real force, by private mercenaries who are hired to do a job. And they will do that job. They will do that job. So you have to be very, very careful with this. But interesting to note that the Shadowrun cyberpunk state is among us because the street samurais are returning from the desert wars, and very soon they'll be put to work by the corporations doing Shadowruns of their very own. Your daily hack today is based upon some encryption. That's a good one. I got some email. Originally, I got this one. Sean, hello. I heard you on the show, and you and Sim were talking about a double encrypted method so you could give your encryption password to the man so he cannot see the hidden encryption file store. Yeah, we did talk about it. This is really easy to set up, and it's free. The application is called TrueCrypt. Link on my site. Example, what you want to do is create an encrypted volume, put in a couple of semi-secret files that look like you're trying to hide stuff. Like I have a couple of password cracker programs, wireless networking, sniffing programs that I can explain to system admin tools because I'm a code monkey. Then you create a second hidden encrypted volume within the first volume that cannot be seen or found to hide your real info and files. There's easy to follow tutorial that on the TrueCrypt website, link provided above. It's an awesome program. Love the show from here and down under, Darth Dread. Thank you, Darth Dread. Arm yourself with information. Then I sent him one back saying, thanks. Do you know of a way that makes your operating system platform totally portable? I was thinking of taking like a hard drive, like a USB, RAID drive, and making it my mobile platform, no laptop required. There's a twin hard drive RAID configuration one that's out there as well. It's like a little pack of two laptop drives in a RAID configuration. Very, very cool. And that way, what you do is you go to work, you plug it in, it tunnels through the system, and you've got, you know, a completely portable system, leaving no prints or imprints on the system that you're originally touching. Now, this was sent to me before. It's somewhere in the Daily Hacks. Buddy said back saying, oh, good idea. I think it may be tricky to get a random computer to be able to boot from an external drive without changing the BIOS settings. However, there's a simpler solution using Live CD. Interesting. A Live CD is a CD-ROM or DVD that will play when a computer you are on reboots or boots from a CD-DVD drive. The default setting for most computers is menu option boot up. Running the operating system directly from the CD-ROM is not the hard drive. You'd want to load or save files. You can use your external hard drive for that. So use the Live CD-ROM for the portable operating system and your external drive, your portable file system, which you could then encrypt. So you use your CD-ROM, you boot to the CD, the CD-ROM then finds your USB port, and then you go in that way. There are heaps of live CDs like Ubuntu. See a full list here, which I've included at Frozen Tech. I think there are a few that even run off a USB drive, and little versions of Windows are possible also. Well, it means you have an external hard drive or CD-DVD to carry around with you. It's a much safer alternative that you can fully encrypt your external drive and easily create, duplicate new operating system CDs should you need to destroy the CD so that, quote-unquote, the man can't use it to access your external drive, etc., which is already encrypted. Darth Dread. Very smart, Darth Dread, and very easy to do with the provided links. Today's Recomedia is the 10 top industrial albums of all time so far named by Evil Von Scary. He sent this to me. But it's a very good list. If you want to know what's good, what's like, you're going to buy 10 albums, these are the 10 albums you want to buy. This will like give you the backbone of post-industrial and cyberpunk culture. And, yeah. What am I doing? What the hell is going on here? There's a really weird, weird story that just showed up in the middle of my page. I don't know what that's doing there. But anyway. Oh, I know what that was. Okay. There's a... IDG reporters from... there's a... in Lab Rap Culture News. Okay, sorry. This is also part of your recommendia. IDG reporters Rika Yuki reports from Japan about her recent tech developments in Japan, from cell phones that record TV shows and pay for groceries to robot-driven healthcare. The country's technology may change the way we live. This is... some of the new robots that are coming out of Japan. You want to check this out. There's some freaky shit going on in Japan right now. If you want to know where the future's going, seeing how this combines with a lot of the less lethal stuff, this is something you might want to look at. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this program, please do distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website, or... send an envelope to Ram Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, please check out some Psytrance. Love it. Go check out Philosomatica. Very good website. It's spelled Philosomatika. Great site, great streams. Check the stream source, buy the album, support the artist. I'm going to fade out now with a little something that I made up talking about the state of the world right now. A little something I mixed together for you. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
A leading human rights group is calling on the king of Saudi Arabia to pardon a woman sentenced to die for alleged supernatural acts. Our State Department correspondent Zane Vergy is following the story for us. She's joining us now with details. What's going on, Zane?
Well, Saudi Arabia is a close U.S. ally and a big supplier of oil, but it's often under fire for its record on human rights.
A Saudi woman faces death by decapitation, accused of being a witch.
The evidence is absurd.
U.S.-based Human Rights Watch says Fawza Fila was arrested in 2005 by the religious police, who raided her home near the Jordanian border, and say they have hard evidence to prove witchcraft.
Well, the evidence are a foul-smelling substance, a white robe with money inside tied knots, a robe on a tree near a house. Witnesses who say that they became impotent after being bewitched by her.
Fawza, the rights group says, was beaten, forced to confess, and had no lawyer. She later recanted her confession.
This was a miscarriage of justice, a travesty of justice from start to finish.
The verdict says she confessed to having sex with evil spirits. The death sentence was overturned by an appeals court, but later reinstated to protect the creed, souls, and property of this country. This is the latest in a string of controversies. The religious police in Saudi Arabia have great influence and operate as an enforcer of public morality. They recently threw a married American businesswoman in jail for sitting with a man at a Starbucks in the capital Riyadh, and banned anything red, even roses, for Valentine's Day. Most shocking, in 2002, they stopped schoolgirls from escaping a burning building in Mecca because they weren't wearing proper Islamic dress and would not let firefighters rescue them. 15 died.
Fawza's fate is now in the hands of Saudi King Abdullah. He's either going to sign her death warrant or halt her execution. Well, CNN was able to reach a Saudi official who so far did not offer any comment on the case. Wolf?
Zane, thanks very much. Zane Vergy reporting.
Raids normally took place between midnight and 5 a.m. according to Sergeant John Bruins, age 29, of Philadelphia, who estimates that he took part in the raids of nearly 1,000 Iraqi homes. His description of raid procedure closely echoed those of 8 other veterans who served in locations throughout Iraq. Sergeant Bruins described the procedure this way. You want to catch them off guard. You want to catch them in their sleep. About 10 troops were involved in each raid, with 5 stationed outside and the rest searching the home. Once the troops were gathered in front of the home, some wearing Kevlar helmets and flak vests with grenade launchers mounted on their weapons, you kick in the door. So you have all these troops, and they're all wound up because in pre-raid briefings, military commanders often told their troops the neighborhood they were ordered to raid was a hostile area with a high level of insurgency, and that it had been taken over by former Ba'athists or Al-Qaeda terrorists. So a lot of these troops think once they kick down the door, there's going to be people in the inside waiting for them with weapons to start shooting at them. You run in, and if there's lights, you turn them on, if the lights are working. If not, you've got flashlights. You go up the stairs, you grab the man of the house, you rip him out of bed in front of his wife, you put him up against the wall. You have junior-level troops run into the other rooms and grab the family, and you group them all together. Then you go into a room, and you tear the room to shreds, and you make sure there's no weapons or anything they can use to attack us. You get the interpreter, and you get the man of the home, and you have him at gunpoint, and you'll ask the interpreter to ask him, do you have any weapons? Do you have any anti-U.S. propaganda? Anything at all in here that would lead us to believe that you are somehow involved in insurgent activity or anti-coalition forces activity? Normally, they'll say no, because normally, that's the truth. So what you'll do is you'll take his sofa cushions, and you'll dump them. If he has a couch, you'll turn the couch upside down. You go into the fridge, if he has a fridge, and you'll throw everything on the floor. And you'll take his drawers and you'll dump them. You'll open up his closet and you'll throw all the clothes on the floor. And basically leave his house looking like a hurricane just hit it. And if you find something, then you'll detain him. If not, you'll say, sorry to disturb you. Have a nice evening. So you've just humiliated this man in front of his entire family and terrorized his entire family. And you've destroyed his home. And then you go right next door and you do the same thing in 100 homes. January 2005, we had guys in a raid and they threw them in the back of a Bradley, shackled and hooded. These guys were really throwing up. They were so sick and nervous. Can you imagine if people could just come into your house and take you in front of your family screaming? And if you actually were innocent but had no way to prove that, it would be a scary, scary thing. Specialist Reppenhagen said he had only a vague idea about what constituted contraband during a raid. Sometimes we didn't even have a translator, so we'd find some poster with Muqtada el-Sadr or Sistani or something. We don't know what it says on it, we just apprehend them. Sergeant Bokendra said during the first 2 months of the war, he was instructed to detain Iraqis based on their attire alone. They were wearing Arab clothing and military-style boots. They were considered enemy combatants, and you would cuff them and take them in. I remember on some raids, anybody of military age would be taken. A number of soldiers said physical abuse of Iraqis during raids was common. It was just soldiers being soldiers, Sergeant McKendra said. You give them a lot of, well, too much power that they never had before, and before you know it, they're the ones kicking these guys while they're handcuffed.